Thank you for visiting New Song Community Church on the web at newsongpdx.com. We pray that you will be blessed by listening to the message today. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. We are located on the corner of Russell Street at 2511 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland, Oregon.
You can all stand with us if we would, please. We're going to read the Word of God. And what a way to introduce what God is going to share with us today, because we're talking about the gospel of how God truly prospers us. And we're going to go into Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 11. We're going to talk about our relationship with Christ and how we're in Him, and He does all the great things in our lives. And you'll find the responding verses on the screen behind me. If then you were raised up with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God.
Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth.
For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God.
When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will also appear with Him in glory.
Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth: fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry.
Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience.
In which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds. Verse 11 together. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we declare that you are in us all. You're all that we need. You're our abundant supply. And God, today as we enter into the Word, we're talking about the whole idea of how you cause our soul to prosper. Only because we are in you and we are alive, we have a new identity. And so I pray today through your Word that we will be transformed from the person that we are to the person you desire for us to be, that we would leave this place edified, built up, strengthened to do the work of the ministry. Thank you, God, for your incredible gift of salvation, but Lord, also for the fact that you're changing us day by day into an image that will be conformed to Christ. We give you all the glory, the honor, and the praise. We ask all of these things in the powerful name of Jesus. And all God's people said,
amen.
You may be seated. We've entered into a discussion and actually a teaching for the next few weeks. We're talking about the prosperity of your soul. It's not like this is a prosperity gospel per se. But the true prosperity gospel, it's one of the worst misconceptions about prosperity, is the idea that we deserve the blessings that are bestowed upon us. But we deserve it. One person says, he says, I've got to get rid of him. I deserve better than this. I'm thinking, really? Wow. Okay. If we got what we deserve, this place would be empty. It's God's grace that she was just singing about. But we go on to say this, it's bestowed upon us, or our character is in no way related to them, because God wants to reform our character of our soul. For the true believer has everything to do with our position in Christ and our willingness to obey Him with our humble submission, constantly seeking His presence and His guidance. You know, the song we just sang, here in your presence, we're undone. What that really means is when we get in the presence of the Lord, we realize how pitiful we are. Let the Holy Spirit show up and say, you know, if He leaves, it'll be because of me. But the idea behind it is that God is doing some amazing things to bring us without the condemnation. There's no condemnation to those who are in Christ. Here's my things we need to consider. First of all, do you consider Christ the focal point of your life? In other words, is he in first place? One scripture says, to whom would you liken me, or shall I be equal? This is God talking. He says, Jesus is as good as. No, there is no as good as. Jesus is. God is. You won't put anything on the same line, same sentence, same description as to who God is. Second thing I would suggest to you is this. Does the idea of death to your flesh challenge who you really want to be? You say, well, you know, that's just who I am. I'm just loud and boisterous and obnoxious, and that's my true personality. Really? Some people want to excuse their sinful behavior. Say, well, that's just how I relate to people. I'm just kind of just quick and just kind of brusque, but that's who God made me. No, he didn't. You're about to get a little transformation today. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Are you willing to allow the Holy Spirit the right of way to guide your soul to prosperity for you and others around you? In other words, God's going to change you for your sake and for ours too. Because frankly, we are tired of you being crazy. Okay? Just a clue. Just give you a little suggestion. This is your therapy session. We're just going to listen, okay? Walking out God's plan, path to your soul's prosperity. We're going to go back into Genesis chapter 40. Remember, we've been dealing with Joseph. And let's go into chapter 40. I'm going to go to verse 1 through 8. I'm going to read this through. And it came to pass after these things that the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt offended their lord, the king of Egypt. And Pharaoh was angry with his two officers, the chief butler and the chief baker. So he put them in the custody in the house of the captain of the guard in the prison, the place where Joseph was confined. And the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them, and he served them. So they were in custody for a while. But the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt, who were confined in the prison, had a dream, both of them. Each man's dream in one night, and each man's dream with his own interpretation. And Joseph came into them in the morning and looked at them and saw that they were sad. So he asked the Pharaoh's officers who were with him in custody of his Lord's house, saying, "Why do you look so sad today?" And they said to him, "We each had a dream, and there's no interpreter of it." So Joseph said to them, "Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell them to me, please." This is going to be a setup of what we're going to talk about in this time together. But remember in our story, if those of you who don't remember, we're talking about Joseph, a young man who really has been talented with the interpretation of dreams, but he finds himself in prison as a result of some bad choices of his brothers and some bad choices of his own. And we're going to separate those two in just a moment. But the deal behind it is this guy, he's in prison, and all of a sudden this thing happens, and these two guys who are formerly in the Pharaoh's court, they've made some bad mistakes, and the Pharaoh is they're no longer in good graces with him. And they come to Joseph, and that sets us up for what we're going to talk about today, about the prosperity of your soul that many times will run in tangent or will run and collide with other people's lives, and you'll have some choices to make. Well, soul prosperity has everything to do with how we respond to daily challenges and opportunities to be who God has made us to be. I want to tell you, Joseph is in jail. He doesn't deserve to be in jail. He is, you know, basically he was set up by Potiphar's wife. But he finds himself in a situation, and you know what? Life will do one of two things to you. It'll make you bitter or better. And I want to talk to all you bitter folks today. We want to make you better. So I want to tell you why you've gone through what you've gone through. But God's intent is always to make you better. It doesn't matter how hard it is or difficult it is. God has a plan for this whole thing. Well, first of all, it starts in the heart, and it works its way out. So right now, what's going on in your heart right now is a deposit or it's a result of all the things you've allowed to affect you, either in a positive way or a negative way. But God is going to turn all those things around that have caused you to look at life probably in a little different way than you really should. Well, I would say this, opportunities will come your way to make others prosper in the things that you want for yourself. That's the first test. Do you want it just for you, or are you willing to let God use you to benefit someone else? Don't raise your hand, because I don't want to expose you at this point. But I will tell you this much, that God will give you an opportunity in the worst circumstances you're going through to help somebody out of their problem, and yours will remain the same. What? Isn't it about me getting better? And, you know, I'll throw them a bone now and then, but you know what? I want to get better. I want things for me and my family. Well, this is why you're here today. God wants to help you with that. We must constantly look beyond ourselves to be a blessing to those around us. Somebody say amen. Amen. Do you know before this day is over, you'll have an opportunity to bless somebody? I will. It might even be when you go out to lunch this afternoon. God may say, you know that person next to you or the person coming after you, why don't you just pay it forward and pay for their lunch? You think, I rebuke you, devil, in Jesus' name. Oh, yes, you will. Where'd that come from? I got barely enough for me. Well, I'm just a suggestion. This is going to be a rough ride, so hang on, okay? Regardless of hardships and setbacks, Jesus is still working in your life. Somebody say amen. Amen. It doesn't matter how bad it is. God has not abandoned you. Now remember Joe, we'll call him Joe for now. Joe's in prison. And his homies, I don't know what their names were, but anyway. But here's the thing that starts the whole situation. Joseph couldn't be thinking about his problems so much that that next day, after these guys had these dreams, he looks at these guys and he says, you guys look kind of sad today. What's going on? You will never see anyone else's problems unless you get past your own. Is that right? And so all of a sudden, he's just forgetting all of his stuff. He says, you look kind of sad today. Would you allow God's Holy Spirit to work through you to be a minister to someone else's pain? It comes from your soul. Well, even when you feel empty, the Holy Spirit can work through you. I know that's true. Because sometimes you feel tired and just don't want to be bothered by anybody. And all of a sudden the Holy Spirit shows up. You know, you need to go over there and take care of them. Or forget about what you're going through and talk to them. How about this? When you set your focus on things above, everything takes on a new meaning. And that's what, you know, he's talking about here. You know, keep seeking the things that are above. If you then have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking those things that are above. Don't get focused on the things of this earth. It doesn't mean that you're so heavenly minded, you're no earthly good. That was the old saying they used to have. But at the same time, let's seek the things that are above. The Bible says we're seated in heavenly places with Jesus Christ, which means you see things from a whole different perspective. You see it from God's perspective. Well, the word of God is just so powerful in this particular sense. And when you focus on the things that are above, everything else takes on a new meaning. And we must always acknowledge that everything we have of value comes from the Lord. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
I'm not talking about your truck and your house. I'm talking about everything of value. And many of you have relatives and friends and children and husbands and wives and all this other type of thing. Do you know those are the most valuable treasures God has entrusted you with? And so we should be seeking the best things for them, that they would know Jesus and love him with all of their heart and have a relationship with him that would change the whole atmosphere of how we relate to one another. Well, prosperity of our soul will occur in places where we never wanted to go. I mentioned this last week and I said, you know, sometimes God will put you in jail. Now, the reason why I said that was, now sometimes you went to jail because you needed to go to jail. Some of you were unlicensed pharmaceutical representatives. Come on, work with me, folks. You didn't go through school. You didn't get your certificate. You were on the street corners. I don't need an amen. I know what you're doing. But God, you know, if you end up in jail, don't be blaming everybody. They always picking on me. The man is you. You the man, okay? Well, now we got that settled, okay. But regardless of where you are, God can still use you. Once we repent, it doesn't mean that you get a get out of jail free card. Can I help you with that? But while you are there, God can give you an assignment that you can make a difference wherever you are. And that's the beauty about it. You can be, even though you may be bound in the flesh, in the spirit, you're free to be who God wants you to be. So I want to get that clarified, that whole thing clarified. But here's the thing. We should not discount any opportunity that will come our way to demonstrate God's power and his greatness in our lives. So don't be sitting back there in the corner saying, I can't wait till I get out of here. Do something while you're there. Be a light. Be a changer. And so here comes this opportunity to Joseph, and he sees these two guys who are kind of sad. He says, hey, you guys looking kind of sad today. Yeah. And he says, well, we have these dreams. And, you know, and he says, and the first thing that I love about what Joseph does, you see, he gives acknowledgement. He says, does not all interpretation come from God? I want to tell you, any gift that I have that's of any value to do, God gave it to me. If you get any blessing out of my life, it's not because I'm a good guy. It's because God has been good and he uses that goodness through me. He channels it through me. Don't ever make it about you. So he goes on a little further and he says, we get our focus on the right things. We should focus on the needs of others is a choice that is totally in alignment with the character of Jesus. The Bible says about Jesus, he did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. And some of you don't like that verse. It says, I ain't here to be your servant. I mean, I'll help you out now and then. I'll throw you a little something. You know, you are here to make my life better. Wow. And as much as we live, and I guess I have a little tom-tom I beat rather hard about, you know, people who are entitled, feel like we owe you something. It's just not true. But unfortunately, our culture kind of leads us that direction. Focusing on the needs of others is a choice that is totally in alignment with the character of Jesus. Your attitude will determine your altitude and whether you will be seeing things from God's perspective. Attitude determines altitude. If you're still in this base attitude and you're still complaining about stuff, and we're going to get to some things, some assignments in just a moment, you're going to find yourself very frustrated. Consider this. We must spend each day doing things that will nourish our soul. You say, well, how do you do that? Now, I'm not talking about greens and cornbread and chicken, fried chicken and sweet potato pie and peach cobbler. Matter of fact, I just came back from Los Angeles. I went to this soul food place there. Oh, Jesus, help me. I have repenting to do for many days. I bear in my flesh the wounds that were taken for that. But here's the deal about soul food that we're talking about that will nourish our soul. Soul nourishment is more than refraining from sin. I don't drink, smoke, nor chew, or run with those who do. So what? Sometimes God will send you to that person you don't really want to be with to make a change in their life. Do not isolate yourself merely because you're afraid you might want to have a toke. Oh, I'm preaching today. I know I am. Don't worry about it. Don't just stay away from folks and just go, oh, I don't know what might happen. Get the Holy Spirit in you where you will change the atmosphere wherever you go. Soul nourishment is built upon the refinement of our character. Oh. The stuff we don't like talking about. Well, our soul will prosper when we look for opportunities to enter into the struggles of others. Here's the thing that I need to tell you about Joe. Joe's in prison. If he was stuck in the idea of, I ain't going to do nothing for nobody. My brother threw me in this pit, and now I'm in prison, this type of thing. And life is just so unfair. I don't know. I think I just want to die. Really? Find something you can focus on that will make someone else's life better than yours. I don't want them to have a better life than me. That's the problem. I know of a gentleman, and he was in a part of New Song Church years ago. He is the person who designed the Starbucks logo. He was in school at Oregon State, and he sold it to Starbucks for $500. He is in San Francisco now in the throes of death because he has never resolved the issue of what he did when he sold it for $500. They've made billions and billions of dollars. And you know how when people get an invention this type, they give you royalties for the rest of your life? He got $500. Here's the thing I want to tell you. What would it profit a man if he gained the whole world and lost his soul? And what would a man give in exchange for his soul? You can sit here and lament and cry and weep and do all kinds of things over mistakes you've made or someone else is making money off of things that you created, and you'll have a life of misery. Or you can let it go and say, you know what? Jesus let me make Starbucks successful. If that was my assignment, thank you, Jesus. It takes a while to get there. That's the reason why we're doing these series of messages. So you got a few more weeks behind you. I'm going to let you know where we're going in the car. So stay on board, okay? Hallelujah. We must choose to confront personal issues that will hinder people from experiencing the benefits of soul prosperity. Now I'm going to talk about the personal issues. Are you ready for this? Fasten your seatbelts. Here we go. Number one. Being constantly late for appointments or events. That's a character issue. It's a character issue. Well, you know, I just don't like getting there early. Really? You like making people wait for you? Well, yeah. Appointments about me, isn't it? Your thinking is skewed. You're off base. You're weird. I want to help you. Because your soul is askew here. Number two, it doesn't get no better, so you might as well. Number two, coming to a meeting or an event unprepared to serve or make a presentation. Why do people do things like that? They just kind of, I should have gotten prepared, a little more prepared than this. And they start giving you all the excuses why they didn't do what they were supposed to do. It's a character issue. Don't blame that on Jesus. I was just reading my Bible too long, and I just got caught up in the presence of God. That's a lie from the pit of hell. Trying to blame Jesus. I got to move on to number three. I got a lot of this stuff today, so if you're taking notes, I'll give them to you later, okay? Here we go. Number three, blame shifting and not taking responsibility for your actions. My mama didn't breastfeed me. And I have separation issues. I went there. Yes, I did. Daddy never went to any of my football or baseball games, and I'm just here by myself trying to find my way. Will you stop it? And shifting the blame on somebody else. You are here today, hopefully clothed in your right mind. Make a difference because Jesus is in your life. Everything you lack in life, Jesus can give it to you. All the wisdom you don't have, the Holy Spirit can give it to you in an instant. Number four. Remember, character issues. Disrespecting those in authority. You say, what's that got to do with anything? All politicians are crooks. We just go on and on, just rail about these picky things. But you forget a scripture that says, all authority is given by God. God is not surprised that you have a right wing or a left wing or a no wing person or a wingette. He's not surprised. And so I want to get you over this character issue of the fact of disrespecting authority. It doesn't mean you have to agree with everything they say, but you say, you know, God has got his purpose for that person. And you know what we are deputized to do, whether you like it or not, we're supposed to be praying for those folks. They'll never get to know Jesus. They'll never get to make right decisions until the Holy Spirit gets a hold of them and can cause them to do the right thing. The Bible says this in Proverbs, in case you haven't read it, the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord. And sometimes he'll tell you, I don't know why I'm doing this. You don't even know why. Just make the decision. I'm good. I don't know why, but for some reason, I feel like we should change it a little bit and to work to your advantage. I've had that happen over and over again when people say, I don't know why I'm doing this, but you know, I'm thinking, I know why. Here we go. Number five, complaining and negative speaking. I know none of you have that problem, so should I go to number six right away? I ain't going there. I'm going to give you an assignment. For the next 24 hours, I don't want you to complain about anything. Weather, poor service at a restaurant when you go there today, you know, about somebody not calling you back. For 24 hours. And I guarantee you, most of you will not be able to do it. Because it's in our nature. Well, I can't believe they did this. And blah, blah, blah. This is too hot. This is too cold. Oh, I bought this newspaper and just all it's got is bad news. And I want a newspaper with better news. Come on, please. Really? I got a word from the Lord for you. Yea, verily, thus saith the Lord. Shut up. Shut your mouth. And begin to thank me for all the things I've done in your life. Number six. Acknowledgement of mistakes and oversights. It's me, oh Lord. Standing in the need of prayer. It's you. I choose to believe this, and this is not theologically sound at all, so just for a moment, engage my fantasy. I believe that if Adam and Eve had acknowledged their mistake in the beginning, things would have been different. Now, you may choose something different, but instead of acknowledging what was going on, first of all, God goes to Adam, Adam, what you doing? What you taking a bite of? I don't know whether it was an apple or it was a pomegranate. I'll tell you, it's a pomegranate. I'll tell you why, because you know what, God? God makes it hard for you to sin. When you peel it back, you suck it on the little seeds, and you figure out all that work you went through for just a little bit of juice. That's just not... That's my theology. It's okay. But here's what happens. Instead of Adam saying, oh, God, I made the most horrible, you know, misjudgment and gone against your word, and I just repent. I'm so sorry. He says, you know that woman you gave me? That rib you took from me, and you, this is her right here, over here. This is Lois. Lois over here. If you hadn't put her in my life, I would never have touched that tree. That's a lie from the pit of hell, but that's what he wanted her to believe. It would have gotten better if Eve had got it. So all you ladies getting all happy. Here we go. Yeah, my husband. If he had killed that snake when I told him to, I never would have had that conversation with him. But I don't know. He's busy doing other things. And the snake came out of me. God, he started talking to me. And what's a woman supposed to do? My point here is acknowledge your mistakes and your sins and confess them before God and receive forgiveness, and your soul will prosper. That's the reason why our souls are so messed up. You're too busy, you know, not just kind of, you know, justifying your mistakes. Let me move on. Number seven. Oh, here's one.
failure to apologize. Not to God, but to other people. She know how wrong she is. She'll come to me one day. Really? How about how wrong you were? Two wrongs never make a right. You know that. They taught you that in school. But when I know, or when I'm ready, I'll apologize. What makes you think you're going to take another breath? Today is your day to get it fixed. I'm going to move on to a few others because I want to have plenty of time for you to snot around the altar. I mean, to get your life together. Sorry about that. I slipped out. Forgive me. It wasn't supposed to come out that way. Number 8, holding on to grudges. Boy, this is something else today. Ooh, Lord, have mercy. Now, see, those of you that were just thinking, you know, I need to go get that CD and send it. You're the one I'm looking for. To hold on to a grudge is cancer in your spirit. And you will never rise above that in your relationship with Jesus. Because he will constantly send you back to that person that you refuse to resolve the issue with. Move on to number 9. Failure to make healthy lifestyle choices. You say, what's that got to do with my soul? Everything. I'm not preaching divine health, but I will tell you there's some things we know that we're doing that are health issues that we need to stop doing. Your doctor told you to do blah, 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 blah. Say, I know what he told me. He ain't running my life. That's your problem. And you can't make it up a flight of stairs. Let me get to my breath. Oh, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. Ha, 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 ha. Leave that pork chop alone. Leave the donuts in the shop. You hear what I'm saying? You say, you meddling now. No, I'm preaching. I'm still preaching. Good Lord. About Jesus, heal me. No, no. Jesus, leave the donuts alone. Go ahead and laugh. You might as well have a good laugh. But then Taylor's name is Change, okay? And the last one is the lack of daily soul nurturing. You say, well, how do you nurture your soul daily? Two ways. Thanksgiving and praise. That will nurture your soul. The Bible says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Don't ever let a day go by without being thankful in everything. You get caught up in traffic, thank you, Jesus. You wouldn't even thank Jesus. Don't thank him for the traffic. Thank you, I got a car to get caught up in traffic with. You can find something to thank God for. Let me move on. Embracing and making right choices is a key to soul prosperity. Genesis chapter 4, verses 14 and 15. This is how this thing works out. Okay. But remember me when it is well with you, and please show kindness to me, make mention of me to Pharaoh, and get me out of this house. For indeed I was stolen away from the land of the Hebrews, and also I have done nothing here that they should put me into the dungeon. This is Joseph speaking. And what has happened is he's gotten an interpretation of the two dreams of the two people that were in prison or in jail with him. And he puts this little thought in their mind. He says, remember me And I'll give you the interpretation, but remember me when, make mention of me to the Pharaoh and get me out of this house. I'm tired of being in prison. And he gives him this story. I was stolen. I was put in here. I was under false charges and blah, blah, blah. And so I just need you to kind of help a brother out. Because I've done nothing wrong that I should be put in this dungeon. I want to help all of us with that. Many of us, in the vernacular where we look at things, are a victim to circumstances or choices that other people have made. I believe that 100%. Some of you have been victimized by, by parents, by children, by employers, employees, whatever. But that's not an excuse that God will honor. So wait a minute. Well, this is the thing that I'll tell you, that knowing that God is in control is one of the hardest things to embrace when we feel as though we are forgotten. I won't ask for those of you who feel like you're forgotten today. I will keep that between you and Jesus, but I will tell you this much. There's a number of you that are in this room right now that feel like God's forgotten about you, your situation, and you feel like you're kind of on your own. And if you don't advocate for yourself, nothing's going to change. I need to tell you this. That's a lie. God is still working on your situation. Even though you don't see it, even though you don't feel it, even though you understand it, God has not forgotten about you. I said, really? But Joseph is like us. If we see any opportunity that we can say, well, I'm going to help these guys out, but it's not for free. One of them's going to get out and one of them's going to get killed. But just kind of, throw a little hint out there that there's somebody that helped you out because I'm a victim. I want to heal you from victim mentality or allow the Holy Spirit to do that, because when you get free from that, God can use you in ways you thought were never possible. Well, watching others benefit from our diligence and service without impacting our personal situation is often difficult. Second thing is, giving without expecting anything in return is something we must allow the Lord to deposit in your soul. We're talking about soul prosperity. I want to deliver you from this and myself from this too, if the propensity is ever there. If I ever do anything good for you or give anything to you, and I have an expectation for you to do something in return, I'm saying, Jesus, help me to adjust my thinking. Let me break it down for you, because some of you out there are struggling. You invited them over to dinner. They came over and ate everything they could find. And they have never invited you over to their house for dinner. And every time you see them, the first thing that comes up on the screen, you know them people there. Them some selfish people. They came, and they ate all your food, and they ain't invited you over for a sandwich or for a hot dog. Some of you are living on that street. And I'm going to help you get over it. Because that's not how it works. Anything we give, we haven't given anything until we've let go of it. Let me see what I got in my pocket. Yeah, I'm going to try to step over the big bills. There it is. Anybody who wants that, come get it. It's a $20 bill. I'm serious. Anybody who wants that, come get it. Love you. That's yours. I will never ask for it back. But do you know why you got that? Because you believe what I told you. We've got to believe what God told us. I'm not God, but I when I put that down there, it was gone forever. I had no desire to ever get it back. You've got to be the same way in your giving with other folks. Do not expect to get anything in return. Let go of it. Otherwise, you've never given it. That's the last 20 for today. They'll say, is he going to take out a 50? No, he ain't. Oh, Lord, help me. I'm close to done, but not quite. Not responding to situations as a victim is difficult when the facts seem to point that out to be the case. There is not one victim in this room. You know why I say that? Because all of you came here of your own free will. No one made you come. And God says, I'm going to set a table before them of blessing that their life will be better because they came. I'll take you to this last scripture and then we'll finish this up next week. We must overcome the feeling of being for a forgotten soul. Jeremiah 29 verses 11 through 13. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Before I go further and see what the scripture says, I want to take away the thoughts that the devil has told you that God thinks about you. God says, you're a loser. God is so tired of hearing your pitiful repentance. God is so tired of you just kind of being off and being on. You know, God, you're a despicable individual to God. He only lets you live because he pities you. You're a pitiful person. Whoa. But here's what God says. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Every single one of you in this room has a future and a hope in God. Wow. What does that mean? Well, it means the things that other people have said about you or people who've just kind of belittled you, they're wrong. God says, you know, that's what I think about you. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me and I will listen to you. Here's the part we forget or we don't do is we don't pray to God because all the other things preclude us from praying because God's not going to hear me anyway because he doesn't even like me. They will pray to me and I will listen. This is beginning to stir in someone's heart, so let me just unpack this for you real quickly. God is still thinking of you when others are not. Whew. You are not forgotten. If people just walk past you, they don't even know I'm alive, and nobody even looks at you. God has not forgotten about you. Oh, repeat after me. God has not forgotten about me. Say it again. God has not forgotten about me. Regardless of what the devil says or what it looks like, God has not forgotten about me. Come on, applaud God right there. God will give you peace and calm your troubled mind. There are people in this place right now that your mind's been spinning all different directions. You try to focus on what I'm saying, but the enemy puts a roadblock in there and keeps you from hearing what I'm saying. But I want to tell you right now, God is going to give peace to your troubled mind. You believe that? Because that's what he's going to do. Number three, even when evil thoughts will want to steal your joy, he will calm your fears. Because, you know, ever been having a good day and all of a sudden something comes from, you don't even know where. Like, where did that come from? I'll tell you, the devil. But you need to rebuke the devil and receive the word of God that will change everything. Because he comes to steal, to steal, kill, and destroy. That's what he does. The next thing is, God has a future and a hope in store for you. Wow. I look out of this group of people here today, and I can see people that are filled with the Holy Spirit that are going to do great exploits for Jesus. They're going to lead a generation, their generation, to have a relationship with God. People that said, well, you know, I could never own a business or I never do this. God says, I've locked up inside of you a future that you'll be a business owner one day and you'll honor my name and you'll employ people and people will call your name blessed. He says, well, I could never do that. The devil's a liar. In the next few weeks, I'm going to release some of those things in your life. Last one is, we will only find him when we seek him with our heart and soul. There's one scripture you don't have up there as a worship team makes their way up here. This is one thing that God's told me to be sure today. I want to ask you to fixate on one thing. Just one thing. What's the one thing about you that you know needs to change? Not five, one. Because I'll tell you that one thing is the key to all the rest of them. Wow. And this is how it works. In James chapter 5, in verse 16, it says this. Confess your trespasses, and in some translations it says faults, to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. And the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. The one thing that God placed in your mind that you know is kind of the key to your freedom is the one thing you can respond to Jesus today about. Some of you have never turned your life over to Jesus. That would be the first one thing you need to do. Because the Bible says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, if I still haven't made a relationship with God, God will not hear me. Now, God has mercy upon feet, folks, day after day after day. But the first is a primary relationship with God. So that's going to be important. But beyond that, for you people who... I shouldn't say you people, for my fellow believers here, that one thing that came to your mind says, you know, if I could get victory over this, if I could conquer this particular thing, my life would be different. That's the thing we're going to focus on. Everybody bow your heads. Everybody, 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 everybody. I'm going to tell you what the Lord told me to do while your heads are bowed. For those of you who will respond, I'll have other altar people here with me. But you'll respond saying, you know, I'm tired of trying to pretend like there's not an issue in my life. I want to come to Jesus today because the Bible says to confess your faults to one another that you may be healed. Healing is deliverance. Healing means it's no longer there. Healing means that freedom comes. So I'm going to pray before I even ask you to lift your hands today. That those of you who need that one thing, and for those of you who don't know Jesus, the very one thing is that you turn your life over to him. And the rest of you that say, you know, if I could get this one thing in my life mastered, I know my life would be different. As you would confess that to the Lord, as you talk to someone up here that would help you pray through it, God is going to set you free. Father, in the name of Jesus, in the name that's above every other name, Lord, I speak freedom, I speak healing, I speak deliverance, I speak that over folks today that would say, you know, Pastor, I want to deal with that one thing. Will be other things, but that one thing that comes to the forefront of my mind that I know is a stumbling block that gets me over and over and over again. I am done with this. And if I can get reinforcement and prayer and stability in my life today, I know things will be different. I'll be on my road to have a healthy soul and a prosperous soul that will bring joy to the kingdom of God. Lord, help me to be humble enough to admit I need to do it. If that's you right now, you say, I got that one thing in mind. I'm willing to be anointed today and let other people pray for me. Lift your hand right now because I'd love to pray for you today. God bless you. God bless you. Lift it up high where I can see it all over this building because I want you to be the first people that respond when we stand in just a moment. You just come here and I will anoint you and the other people will pray for you. But God will anoint you today and that one thing is going to do, God's going to break that off of you today. Would you all stand together? And those of you that lift your hands, just come right now. And my worship folks or my ministry team will be able to pray for you. But come right, I'm going to anoint you and then someone else is going to pray for you.
Thank you for listening today. We pray that you have been blessed by listening to the message. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. If you have a prayer need, we welcome you to submit it through our website. We'd love to pray for you. Will you consider supporting us with your prayer and financial gifts? God bless you.